Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday. Yay, it is Friday again, February 6th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. It is 17 degrees here this morning and sunny in upstate New York. I saw you guys talking in chat this morning saying how it was like spring there. And yes, if you take a look at the map, the whole western side of the country just about is getting a taste of spring. And the Northeast is about ready to get pummeled with not one, but two incoming systems. They said at least through Tuesday, starting tomorrow, it is going to be snowing and piling up, but not too bad. I just am done. As I tell you guys just about every day, I am done. This cold and dark is just killing me. Speaking about cold and dark, let's get to the hearts of those in charge. We have been talking for the last, oh God, I believe this is probably the end of week number three now, about all of the psychotechnologies that are very quietly stealing our future. The newest ripple in all of this is now how this vaccine debate has become a political issue. It's also become a personal control issue. And I'm not talking like bladder control. I'm talking about whether or not you have control and a say over what happens to your own body. You know, right now it's a choice. I don't think personally, in what I've been following, I don't think in the future it's going to be a choice. I really think that the agenda that's being pushed right now is the march toward you losing the ability to say what is in your body, how your body is monitored. It's going to be 24/7 surveillance to the cellular level. You know, I mean, one of the reasons why I don't do what I did for a living anymore for pay is because this is exactly what I saw it leading to. And I didn't literally see it. Maybe I did, but I don't know if I actually realized how insane the path we're on now was. But I could actually have a good view of what was happening with the net dropping down on top of us. I mean, any of us who worked in technology, and especially at resellers, working for all the different, you know, entities that are out there. I mean, all of them, schools, hospitals, banks, I mean, all the verticals. They were all working on upgrading, upgrading, connecting, upgrading, connecting, upgrading, connecting. And now we're going to take a look. There's a few things that happened, and it doesn't look like we're going to get into the nanotech and food. So I think I'm going to kick off the beginning of next week. We're going to look at that. But there's a lot that's been going on this week with the vaccines, but they've added a few new twists that I bet most people missed. There are some changings of the guard happening right now as of the beginning of February at the FDA. It's pretty interesting when you read the history of the people and who are there, what they did, and who's incoming. And there's also some new cyber hacks that in the beginning you don't, but if you've been listening to this show and you hear who got hacked and what information got hacked, and I'm going to tell you it all fits together. I'm telling you, this cannot be accidental. If anyone here has ever done a large puzzle or you ever did research, I mean, I got an English degree. That's what I spent the majority of my 5 years in school doing, was researching. That's what an English degree is all about. You dig and dig and dig and you find info and then you put it all together like a puzzle. That's what I'm good at. And I have never in my life seen clues. If this were just all accidental, this must be a miracle that all these pieces are just falling out of the sky and into perfect placement within this puzzle that I see forming. It can't happen. It has to be orchestrated. Let me pop over there quick. Sorry, it's cold out here. I just got my heat fired up. Taking my first couple sips of coffee. All right, where do we start? Where do we start? I'm trying to think of where we left off yesterday. None of this is good, guys. It really isn't. Oh, yes, we talked about the cell phone. The Israeli-led consortium has received £6 million grant from the European Commission to develop a phone attachment that can just have you breathe on it and it will diagnose cancer. So those little nanobots then can start running around inside of you. And actually, I'm telling you what, this might even just be a stepping stone to get us used to this instantaneous diagnosis and treatment. Because by breathing into a phone, like if they invented that tomorrow and it told you that you had malignant lung cancer, and I hate to tell you guys, but with Fukushima and all the other crap that's going on, I mean, look at I'm not even going to go there, but just be aware. You know, this isn't by accident either. It's all about making money. Everything. Everything is about making money. And I know there are people out there who'll say, no, the rich don't need any more money. It's control, manipulation. This is how they're getting all these regulators to go along with them, is that insider trading is legal. And so are kickbacks under Obamacare. So everybody, it's like an orgy of slippery palms right now. They have not only sold the store and ripped all the fixtures off the wall, but now they're chucking your kids out the back door too when you're not looking. And it's going to get worse. So anyway, let's pop into some of the things that I discovered after the show, because, and there's so much that we need to actually go back and hit, but I want to look at this right now because some of this is really important. So we've been talking about the FDA. We've been talking about all this freaky technology that they're working on. I have all kinds of documents on actually laws and ethics that they've been digging into over the last 5 years or so about nanotech, that if we don't get to today, I promise I'm going to do no new news. We're going to back up 2 weeks and get through all this because it's very important. You need to understand that they make it sound like to all of us that this is great and this technology is great and it's going to cure us all. And, you know, you're in danger. We know that. And so we will protect you. That's how the government has trained us to depend on them. We looked at Ebola. We looked at that as the first step. And before that was even the swine flu and, you know, the bird flu, H1N1. And this has been a repeating cycle over and over again. And it's always been the government who stepped in with their wonderful vaccines and has cured and saved the day. It's a mindset. They've set us up now. They've set us up so that nobody is going to question. And now we see this vicious debate going on over this measles crap. Now, look into measles, okay? If you don't believe me, dig into measles. Measles is not the killer disease that they're trying to frighten you into thinking it is. You know, it's interesting that they followed it up after Ebola. And Ebola, as you search images on Google, you see hemorrhagic fever. So they put the fear of Ebola into everybody. And Ebola, we find out, wasn't even that easily spreadable. Measles is, but they don't have a lot of bad side effects. Now, I mentioned yesterday the ancillary infections. You can get encephalitis. You can get secondary infections such as pneumonia, because measles is actually, it affects the upper respiratory system. It's an inflammatory. The dots are actually inflammation, almost like an allergy or a rash. Read up on measles. You'll be really surprised that everything you thought you knew about measles was wrong. But they're making this seem like it's a plague, and it's not, guys. And there's a lot of evidence, and I told you there's a whole double-edged sword that's working its way through here. Measles is one of those viruses that there is actual research out there, and China was one. We looked at that story briefly yesterday out of greenmed.info. China's one of those places where they had 90, I believe, 90% vaccination rate, and people were still getting measles. So I read into that yesterday, and here's one of the reasons why. And we actually talked about this in regards to the flu vaccine way back when, a couple years ago. There are a couple different forms of vaccination, and we know this over the years, being kids growing up in the 70s, there were live viruses, and dead viruses. And I'm trying to think of which one is attenuated live or dead. Attenuated virus. I think that one's the dead one. Hold on. Oh, no, it's live. All right. But yes, the live attenuated virus. So there's the live virus and there's the dead virus. And they found in the past that children were getting the disease, the illness, the virus, when they were giving, not in all cases, but in some, when they were giving vaccines that had live virus in it. And I believe polio was one. My dad's cousin actually got polio when he was a kid. He had it. He was affected his entire life. And they always said it was from the vaccine. And that was probably in the 50s or so. Back by the time I was getting the polio vaccine, it was a killed virus. They had discovered that, whoops, by giving live viruses, some people's immune systems couldn't handle it. Well, in the swine flu, or maybe it was the bird, it was actually the bird flu because it was back probably about 5-6 years ago. They had started giving two different vaccines to children. One was the actual vaccine in the arm. The other one was the intranasal. And that's something else I discovered. You know, with all this nanotech, there was a huge research paper that I was digging down through the other day that was looking at clinical studies in the best routes for getting nanotechnology and nanomedicine into the body, where A, it can get into the bloodstream, B, it can cross the blood-brain barrier easily, C, it doesn't get killed by other things or masked or destroyed before it gets to the target area, and, you know, down under 200 pages of technobabble, they've discovered that intranasal inhalation through the lungs is actually probably the best way to get it into your body. So remember that, okay? We got all this crap that we're breathing. There's a couple, I'm not going to get into some of the crazy stuff, but if anyone knows anything about buckyballs and radiation, that's something to maybe look into. They discovered a long time ago that Fukushima, when the radiation, and I don't remember which radioisotope, was hitting the salt water, it was creating buckyballs that were like capturing, like a cage, different radionuclides, and then they were like coming across the ocean very easily. So for things like plutonium that they always said were very heavy and would drop off into the ocean, they were thinking that that may have been a reason why there was a large dispersion of plutonium and uranium in this country from Fukushima, was because they were being captured in buckyballs. And buckyballs are actually the first thing I ever learned about in nanotechnology. So I don't know. I don't want to go there, though. That's totally, I mean, it's sort of related, but totally off topic. But we're breathing that shit, and that's why I brought it up. So if somebody wants a research project and wants to get more into that side of things and then get back to me, you know, I mean, if people really want to do some research, maybe what we'll do is we'll do a couple days a week where we open the phones and we can share research together and dig into it. But that's a neat idea. Anyway, I want to get back to where I was. So we were talking about attenuated viruses versus killed. So one of the things that I discovered in doing my research over the last few days into this measles thing is that a lot of the measles, the MMR, and that MMR vaccine is actually the one that they have a lot of parents have blamed on autism. I can tell you those combo vax, my other cat, I had the one that had cancer, and then I had the other one who was the ginger kitty who was very, very sensitive to everything. When he got the whatever the cat three-way vaccine is, he had a very horrible reaction, and I found him 2 days later passed out with foam coming out of his mouth in my hamper under the sink. This was many years ago. I had just gotten out of college, I think. I had curtains around underneath my sink. My hamper was underneath there, and he had gotten into the basket and passed out in there, and I found him with a fever having a reaction to this vaccine with foam coming out of his mouth. And it was horrible. And, you know, the cat was always, when I found him, he was half starving at the time, and he was young, and I think he definitely received some damage from the starvation. He always was a little bit slow. He was like my autistic kitty. But And I mean, he didn't get things. I have a couple cats that are really super smart. He definitely I think he was affected by his hardships when he was younger. But I'm telling you, that cat had such a horrible reaction, and they would never give him that vaccine anymore. And then that was when I had the conversation with my veterinarian about the vaccinations. And you know, even your veterinarian, the ones that aren't bought and sold by the Veterinary Association, will tell you that all of these vaccines are unnecessary and that the vaccine schedule that they give you is way, way overrated, because immunity lasts a hell of a lot longer than 1 to 3 years, just so you know that. So anyway, getting back to the measles, because I'm getting already off the topic, they were discovering that with the live virus, people who were vaccinated were actually shedding the virus for up to a week or more out of their nasal passages after getting the vaccination. So here's the question about this whole Disneyland thing. Before the days that we had vaccines for measles, the type of measles that everyone got was called wild measles or measles in the wild. And it was a totally different type of measles than the measles we get today. And the measles we get today is a type of measles that people are catching from others who have gotten vaccinated and then are breathing, while their body is fighting this virus, are breathing out infectious material. And when I was talking about the swine flu, it was the same exact thing with the swine flu vaccine. The one that they got in the arm was dead, but the one they were giving to the kids intranasally, and they also do rabies like that for cats and dogs, by the way. They'll do that with the liquid, the 1 year. They'll do intranasally. But remember, that's live virus. You get your dog or your cat the 1 year intranasally, they're still spreading virus for the next week till their body catches up. It's very dangerous. Start reading about that. Attenuated viruses taken intranasally. Now, the MMR is through an injection. That also is a live virus. And here's the question that I was reading that parents are asking, ones that are very well adept here. And you know what? Let me hit the UCY page, because I think I posted this story out here yesterday. Parents who are very well adept at this are pointing out that, you know, they're jumping up and down, pointing all this shit on Disneyland and saying it's parents that didn't have their kids vaccinated, which is a load of bullshit, because nobody has shown any data to say that the virus that's being spread around that people are catching happens to be the wild virus. Because if the virus that was being spread was the wild virus, then it would be from the kids who never got vaccinated. But if the virus that's being spread happens to be this mutated virus that they give us in vaccines, and I wish, here, let me just see if I can find this, because it was a great explanation. If it's that other strain of virus, it means that it came from someone who had already gotten the vaccination. And until they can give that proof, and all it takes is a test, that's all they got to do. They just got to do a test. But you know what? They're not going to do that, because it probably would prove to you that it's actually the vaccinated kids that are spreading it. But like I said, double-edged sword, because the second that it gets proven, and it may in the future, in mainstream, you might drop your mouth and go, holy shit, I can't believe they said this. But if they ever come out in mainstream and they start telling us that, whoops, these vaccines that we've had and that we've used for 20, 30, 40, 50 years don't seem to be effective anymore, because remember, we have all these new superbugs now, and there was an executive order written about just that. Well, guess what? We got some new changing of the guards coming into the FDA that are all about precision medicine and all about this crazy technology and all about fast-tracking it. And that's the other thing we're going to look at. So guess what, you anti-vaxxers? You were right all along. You were right. They didn't work. Well, now we're going to fix it. We got this new technology. It's all been approved. We've done all kinds of testing. And now it's time for the security of the nation to get us all vaccinated. We're going to roll out this precision health care, and you guys all have Obamacare. You have socialized medicine. We're going to have doctors inside of you 24/7, Google working on their life sciences, nanobots, and the South Koreans, and the Weiss Institute, and all the big biopharma companies, and we got them all loaded up with drugs. And wow, it's a cheap drug delivery system. And all you got to do is wear that little wristband, and it's going to be able to scan all those little nanoparticles in your bloodstream, and they'll be able to search and destroy disease long before it ever hits you. What a beautiful utopia world it is. Guys, again, my friend who doesn't agree with anything, he's still trying to tell me that this is all about politics with this vaccine argument that now is rolled into the public sidewalk with Anderson Cooper punching, not literally, but figuratively punching a former congressman over this. Did you guys see that? I have to play that clip. I'll tell you what. Anderson Cooper, former CIA. You're a journalist. And I get it. I get the whole game that's going on here. But when you have a former senator or congressman on national or international television, you treat that man with respect. Regardless if you don't agree with his views, this guy has a personal story that he's talking about with his grandson who got vaccine damaged, and he did all kinds of research, and he had all these doctors he was working with. Anderson Cooper eviscerated the man on air. I mean, literally eviscerated him. I was embarrassed for Anderson Cooper. I mean, I get it. I get, you know what? Investigative journalism, sometimes you're not nice, but I'm telling you, the level of attack that they are forming at this moment with blood and guts. I mean, they ripped apart. You should have heard another panel just with fangs ripping the intestines out of Rand Paul yesterday. Then that other one that we heard yesterday during the show where they're calling for doctors to lose their licenses for even suggesting that maybe we modify the vaccine schedule. Guys, this, the rabidness that these sock puppets, prostitutes as they call them, are going after people who are speaking out against this establishment, this new micro nano establishment that's getting ready to engulf the rest of what's left of our privacy and freedom. With the rabidness that they're going after this, it should be like the big screaming button. But all these idiot parents are just rolling over going, yes, yes, the news told me. The news told me, so it must be true. And you people who don't believe in this government that really has never done much of anything good for us, and always on the back end we find out we were being screwed, this government is going to protect us. It's insane. And like I said before, anyone who would give up their child like that without even questioning, they're already deficient in something, some sort of biological mental deficiency. Maybe the heart needs looking at too. All right, let me see if I can find... there was actually one that came out yesterday afternoon. Should anti-vaxxers be punished? But yes, here, hold on. Let me make sure I don't have the show playing in the background. I got way too much crap open on every machine. I've been digging into this stuff so deep the last week or so. And I have a bad habit of never closing windows because it's just a continuous research project, you know, trying to juggle it between home and network and cutting things and doing a show and personal life, you know. So I just leave it open, and I have three machines with research, so it's all over the house too. But it starts to really affect my performance on my computer after a while. All right. I think we got it open. Hello. Here we go. All right. I want you to hear this. Let me get back here. This is the one with Anderson Cooper. Yeah, he was a former congressman who says that vaccines link to autism. And Anderson Cooper just eviscerated this guy. I really think there should be something written to Anderson Cooper about this, because he literally attacked this dude. All right, here, let's all hear this.
Mercury is toxic to the human brain, and neurological problems have been caused by mercury. And
I want to stop. I hate when I start and stop because it's like a false start. But this guy goes on and talks a lot about mercury. I mean, mercury is one small drop in the pot with issues with vaccines, right? We all know that. But I mean, just from that perspective, how about the formaldehyde that you injected into my baby? You know, there are so many, and these virus-like particles, and the Gardasil vaccine. I mean, I could go on, and the MMR, and the live attenuated. I can go on. There are CDC studies out there. SIDS, I was just looking at all these sudden infant death syndromes. CDC's own numbers showed that the most babies died while they're getting all these vaccines, and you're going to tell me that that's not even worthy of looking into. Okay. And remember, confessions of an RX drug pusher, they make more money by rolling this shit out and giving settlements than they do making sure that it's safe.
Mercury should not be in vaccines. My grandson got 9 shots in one day, 7 of which had mercury in it, and he became autistic in a very short period of time. We had scientists from around the world. Now, I'm for vaccination.
Can you tell me the name of any of these scientists who claim this? Because they go against what every study... I mean, the CDC says this, Institutes of Health, all these studies say you're just wrong.
Well, I'll be very happy to provide those for you. I didn't bring them with me. But I can tell you, I was chairman for 6 years. 3 years we had these hearings, and we did have those studies. And there's no question that many scientists around the world believe that the mercury in vaccinations is a contributing factor to neurological problems. Now, listen, I'm for vaccinations. Well, we need to get the mercury out of all of them.
Well, are you against breastfeeding a child?
No, of course not.
Okay, but you are aware that methylmercury is actually in breast milk that's given to children. And in fact, the presence of, if a child is only breastfed, they get more methylmercury than they would have ever gotten in any of the vaccines. You're
right. Something I'd like to ask Anderson Cooper is he thinking there's methylmercury in breast milk because the mother eats tuna? I mean, I don't eat fucking tuna, and I don't eat fish, and I haven't eaten fish in 42 years. So did I have methylmercury in my breast milk? I don't know when the last time I got a vaccination was. Would I have mercury in my blood? I don't drink milk either, and I never have. Would I have methylmercury in my breast milk, Mr. Anderson Pooper? I'm going to tell you, it gets even worse than this. I was so angry, my face was literally red by the time this interview was over.
Let me just say I'm not an expert on breastfeeding.
Wait, so you hold hearings for 3 years and nobody ever told you that there's mercury in breast milk?
We never talked about that. What we talked about was the vaccinations. Okay. And mercury in vaccinations should not be there for adults or children.
Sir, you're aware that the kind of mercury that was in vaccines, which is no longer there, is different than the kind of mercury you get from fish, correct?
Let me just tell you.
Are you aware of that?
If you'll...
Sorry, I was muted. Again, he's full of shit because the doctor gives you a choice as to whether or not you want the thermosol or the non-thermosol, and that's only if you ask. So it is still in vaccines.
Do your research. You'll find that any type of mercury injected into the human body can cause neurological problems.
Do you know what kind of mercury is in fish?
Well, what are you talking about?
Well, there's different kinds of mercury. There's methylmercury, which is what's found in fish, which in high concentrations is toxic to human beings.
Right.
That's not the mercury that was ever in vaccines. You are aware of that, correct?
Well, all I can tell you is that if you'll talk to scientists around the world and look at the studies that we had before the committee, you'll find that they believe that mercury in vaccinations is a contributing factor to neurological problems, including autism. Now, we're for vaccinations.
I know you said that, but a 2010 study by the CDC showed that there was no association between prenatal and infant exposure vaccines that contained thermosal and increased risk for autism. In 2009, an Italian study showed that immunization with thermosal-containing vaccines does not decrease neuropsychological performance later in childhood. 2006, the FDA concluded there was no association between thimerosal-containing vaccines and autism after reviewing evidence by the Institute of Medicine. I mean, the list goes on and on all the way back to 1999 when you were holding these studies. The FDA
Wow, he's just so well researched and rehearsed. Are you hearing this? I am to the point where I want to stand on a rooftop and start screaming. We need to send Anderson Cooper some messages. I also saw Liam Sheff posted some stuff yesterday about Jon Stewart. Apparently, there was another assault from the Jon Stewart show against anti-vaxxers as well, as to how horrible we are and how dumb we are. And all right, let's finish this.
Declared the use of thimerosal in childhood vaccines poses no harm. Uh-huh. And even out of an abundance of caution, they removed it. And the incidence of autism continued to rise.
You're a very bright young man, but I don't know where you're getting your information.
Well, it's called research. You could do it.
I did research. I did research for 3 years. Unfortunately, you haven't had the opportunity to research it for 3 years.
All right.
And I had scientists.
There's no convincing evidence of harm caused by the low doses of thimerosal and vaccines, except for minor reactions like redness and swelling at the injection site. I got a list of dozens of studies. I could spend a long time just reading them to you, but I don't think it's going to make any difference. Hundreds of thousands of kids have been tested.
I will tell you this. You did not tell me you wanted me to bring all the studies, but since you're such an expert on these, I'll be very happy to provide you numerous studies that show that mercury is toxic and shouldn't be in vaccinations.
I can't even believe how rude Cooper was to that congressman. I mean, honestly, he's whipping out study after study after study and talking about breast milk and tuna fish and whatever. In what planet isn't mercury? I mean, the Mad Hatter. Do you understand the Mad Hatter? That's why they went crazy, because they used to use mercury in making hats. On what planet is injecting chemicals into your newborn pristine child? Something that you would jump on board with. I know I don't. I just saw we lost a bunch of people after listening to Anderson Cooper. I'm not agreeing with them, mind you. All right. I needed you to hear that. Now, here's the next thing that I came across. And again, another talking sock puppet. I don't know what channel this is. Oh, it's CNN again. I don't know if you guys caught during the Ferguson clips way back when Ferguson was going on, that there was an individual doing some reporting and he looked pretty green. And his last name was Cuomo. Chris Cuomo, I believe his name is. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I don't care if it was hat mercury. You were still breathing it. It's inhalation, blood-brain barrier. Remember, it can pass easily through the lungs. You were still getting mercury. When my mother was a kid, well, they put it in our teeth too, but when my mother was a kid, after she went to the dentist, do you know what they gave them if they were good kids? Little vials of the shiny silver stuff. And she'd bring it home and she'd pour it out and she'd roll it around on her hand. They used to give the kids mercury as a toy back in the 40s and the 50s. All right. So anyway, there was another clip from CNN, and this was a roundtable. And yes, we have good old Andrew Cuomo, the sellout that's the governor of New York State, that's been working very carefully. It's selling out all of our rights. We have to be the lapdog, the test bed for all the new rules that are rolling out. And you wait and see, because there's some crazy stuff going on in New York, and we'll talk about that too. But Chris Cuomo is on this panel talking about how he believes anti-vaxxers should be punished. Like, he literally is talking about, and he said, well, not now, but future, about them going to jail for the choices that they make. So I need you to hear this. And then we're going to look at some of the changing of the guards at this FDA. Oh, except it would help if I reconnected again. And of course, they got that Lemon. I don't remember his first name. Don Lemon. Don Lemon was voted the worst journalist in America. All right, here we go.
Did you say this? People aren't not vaccinating their kids because they're concerned about their immune system. They're doing it because of a faulty report, bad science, a bad report. That's why they're doing it.
Some are doing it that way. Everybody has their own reasons. Some people are doing it because they know somebody who they believe got injured by a vaccine. Right. I mean, it does exist in a very, very, very small subset.
0.003% of those vaccinated get injured.
Absolutely. Very small subset. But all you need to do is know one or have a neighbor who thinks they know one. Right. It makes parents nervous. That's why this is happening.
Yes, parents think that they shouldn't give vaccines. They're wrong. Yeah. So don't give credibility to their position.
Yes, but here's the problem with what you're saying. You also can't sweep it under the rug. I hear people all the time say, these anti-vaxxers, they're crazy. They're wearing tinfoil hats. Even Hillary Clinton put out her tweet that said, the earth is round and vaccines are good. In other words, you're a flat earther if you have any questions about it.
Oh, God.
Then dig in. I've talked to these folks. They dig in.
But it's sort of the same as the climate change people, don't you think? It's similar to climate change?
I think climate change is a lot more up in the air about what's causing it and where is it and where are we on the cycle. There are a lot of questions there. With vaccines, we don't have them. You are right. You can't just tell somebody they're stupid and expect them to change. Because this is not an intellectual position. It's an emotional position for parents.
Absolutely.
So you have to appeal to them on that level. But they also have to know there's a price.
All right. Speaking of price, let's talk quickly. We talked about politics. Let's talk about the money here. The cost of treating a measles outbreak is huge. In 2011, there were 16 outbreaks, 107 infected. It cost $5.3 million to treat them. $12,000 to $30,000 per person. Why should the rest of us pay for that?
You make a great argument. Here's one of the challenges with that is that the Disney World, Disneyland outbreak has started. There were 102 cases now that are connected to an outbreak at Disneyland. They haven't figured out the source.
They have a lot of ways of finding out who patient ground zero
patient is. They haven't figured out who patient zero is.
Because it's early on. But this is bigger. This is bigger than do you get sued. It's about what is the right thing to do. You don't want to play...
Do you get sued? This is unbelievable. But wait, he goes even further. And what's frightening about this is that this is the son of the governor of New York. And right now in New York, there was a lawsuit that was lost that is going to force vaccinations. You will no longer have religious exemption. All right. So there's definitely some big shit going on. But listen to what he talks about now.
With it politically. When we had Dr. Ben Carson on, he's a very smart guy. He's a doctor. He said, here's why this is happening. And one of his reasons was, all these undocumented people who are coming into the country. Now, do we know of a single case of an undocumented person? Do they hang out at Disney World? I didn't know that they did. That's a pretty expensive place to go. That's playing politics and pandering to something that shouldn't be done.
And they also think that most of the cases are from tourists, but American tourists who went somewhere else, like the Philippines, got infected and then came back. So that's different.
So speaking of doctors, doctors are refusing to treat the anti-vaxxers. There is a backlash when it comes to them. Some are calling for penalties like higher health care premiums, even jail time. Are people overreacting?
Yes. Yes, because you're not there yet. You don't have the laws in place. Civil remedies would be difficult to do. And frankly, you need more harm. I know that doesn't sound right, but that's what moves the law. That's what gets prosecutors to start advocating for things that extends the law. Although, you know, many are saying Ebola was a warm-up, that this is so much more contagious, that measles can hang in the air for 2 hours and make people infected.
You've got to start somewhere.
You'll get more cases.
Okay, we need to play that again because what they just said is our future. Should there be jail time? He says, no, we're not there yet. The regulations are not in place yet, and there isn't enough harm. And Ebola was just a warm-up. That's exactly what we've been saying. And I'm telling you, this is not going to pan out well for any of us. All right, here, I think this is about where he started. Hold on. I can't stand this, Chris Cuomo. And he acts like he's so pseudo-intellectual with the looks on his face.
Know that they did. That's a pretty expensive place to go. That's playing politics and pandering to some.
All right, hold on. We're going to fast forward here. All right, good old Donnie Lemon. All right, here we go.
There is a backlash when it comes to them. Some are calling for penalties like higher health care premiums, even jail time. Are people overreacting?
Yes. Yes, because you're not there yet. You don't have the laws in place. Civil remedies would be difficult to do. And
And they're working on those laws, people. Executive orders. We already looked at a couple of them, and there probably will be new ones coming. In something that I saw yesterday, again, with this debate, they were talking about now some of the states, and we even... How messed up is this? Like 3 weeks ago, we went through all the different states and looked at their Gardasil laws as to whether or not it was mandatory vaccinations. And Ebola was a warm-up. It absolutely was. Here we go.
You need more harm. I know that doesn't sound right, but that's what moves the law. That's what gets prosecutors to start advocating for things that extends the law. Although, you know, many are saying Ebola was a warm-up, that this is so much more contagious, right, that measles can hang in the air for 2 hours and make people infected.
You've got to start somewhere.
You'll get more cases, you'll get more action.
But I mean, this is my point, which is, how does demonizing them help? I don't think that you should demonize
them.
I don't think that you should
vilify them. There should be a price for their position.
But shaming them isn't working. Actually, their numbers are growing. Their ranks are growing.
But if you're telling them the truth, how is that shaming? Okay. If you're saying, here's the truth, so...
So you have a culpability and responsibility. I think that's fine. I really do. I think you have to make a choice in life. But what Chris is... I'm sort of arguing with Chris, because what Chris is saying is that, for instance, on New Day, we had on a mom who had one vaccine-injured child. She didn't want to vaccinate her next child. So I wanted to hear... Tell us your opinion. You're clearly not the devil. Explain to us how you came to this, how your family made this decision. And he's saying she's too sane. She's too smart.
I think she's different than someone who's looking at a faulty report, report that has been proven untrue.
I never use the word sane. That's slander. What I'm saying is that she has a real case.
Yeah.
She has a kid who got sick from the vaccine. Okay. So she should have had her next kid screened for the blood to see if they had the same antibodies.
She's going to have to get the last.
Oh, God.
This is a slippery slope we're sliding down right now. Definitely a slippery slope. And yes, there will be 100 new mandatory approved vaccinations, SLC, because check this out. So as all of this is going on, ding, 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 ding. And I can't even believe that people don't see the connections. And maybe it's just me, but I don't think it's just me. Where's that woman? There's two stories. So, where is she? Here we go. Dr. Margaret Hamburg, the commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration, who led the agency for nearly 6 years through a period of rapid change in medical science, announced on Thursday, which was yesterday, that she is stepping down. Oh, really? The commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration that's in charge of approving all of these newfangled drugs? Yes. The woman that is in charge of approving all of these newfangled drugs. But wait, what's her history? She said she'll leave at the end of March. She never expected to stay as long as she did. She's been there since 2009. She's one of the longest serving commissioners at the agency. Trying to find the little blurb. Under Dr. Hamburg, this is quite telling. The pace at which the agency approved drugs quickened, prompting praise from an industry that had chafed at more cautious approval processes by the FDA in the wake of the regulatory scandal over Vioxx, an arthritis drug that was believed to have caused thousands of cardiac deaths before being pulled to the market. So she took the FDA from being cautious at approving drugs and got them to fast track it all. And you know what? 2009, we should see what pandemic was going on then. In a blog post earlier this week, Dr. Hamburg said that the FDA had approved 51 drugs in 2014. The most drugs in almost 20 years. She called that a testament to, quote, its innovative approaches to help expedite development and review of medical products that target unmet medical needs. While some have criticized the agency for speeding approvals too much at the expense of safety, others have said that the pace was justified. All right, guys, don't think that it is an accident that this woman who set the stage now for the invasion of nanotechnology is stepping down. Because I then dug this morning with my first couple sips of coffee. I was like, you know what? What I didn't see in that story is who was taking her place. Well, someone who she just appointed 2 weeks ago is now being tapped as taking over for her. His name is Dr. Robert Califf, C-A-L-I-F-F. January 26th, she actually appointed him the FDA Deputy Commissioner for Medical Products and Tobacco. That's like medical products and tobacco. That's kind of a weird combination. Until I remembered the Blue Angel Project at Texas A&M with GMO tobacco producing some of these nano vaccines. I was like, oh, this all makes sense now. Wait until you hear this dude's history. This is press release right from the FDA. U.S. Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Margaret A. Hamburg has appointed. Now remember, she appointed him on January 26th. She yesterday announced she was stepping down. And it says in some other story I found that he is going to be tapped. He's actually the one that's being tapped to take over for her as the commissioner for all of the FDA. In this position, Dr. Califf will provide executive leadership to the Center for Drug Evaluation and Research, the Center for Biologic Evaluation and Research, the Center for Devices and Radiological Healthland, the Center for Tobacco Products. He will also oversee the Office of Special Medical Programs in the Office of the Commissioner. She says that she's delighted to announce his addition to the FDA senior leadership, blah, 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 blah. During his career, Dr. Califf has led many landmark clinical studies and is a nationally and internationally recognized expert in cardiovascular medicine, health outcome research, health care quality, and clinical research. And he is one of our nation's leaders in the growing field of transitional research, which is key to ensuring that advances in science translate into medical care. Beep, 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 beep. He was a member of the Institute of Medicine committees that recommend Medicare coverage of clinical trials, beep, 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 and the removal of ephedra from the market. In addition, he served as the member of the FDA Cardiorenal Advisory Panel and the FDA Science Board Subcommittee on Science and Technology, beep, 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 beep. He is also a member of the IOM Policy Committee and the liaison to the Foreign Forum in Drug Discovery, Development, and Translation. The FDA, an agency within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, protects the public's health by assuring the safety, effectiveness, and security of human drugs, including vaccines and other biological products for human use, veterinary drugs, and medical devices. It's also responsible for the nation's food supply, cosmetic, dietary supplements, products that give off electronic radiation, and for regulating tobacco products. Wow, they got it all locked up. That's all the shit that's poisoning us right now. Dr. Califf is currently serving as the Vice Chancellor of Clinical and Translational Research at Duke University. Oh, I bet you. Duke is tied right into the military medical industrial complex if you dig just a fingernail scratch below the surface. Other prominent roles during his tenure at Duke included director of the Duke Transitional Medicine Institute, a professor of medicine in the Division of Cardiology at Duke Medical Center in Durham, North Carolina. Oh, that's probably very near Research Triangle Park where lots of the GMO companies reside as well. Before serving as the director, he was the founding director of the Duke Clinical Research Institute, the world's largest academic research organization. And Dr. Califf is recognized by the Institute for Scientific Information as one of the most 10 most cited medical authors with over 1,200 peer-reviewed publications. This guy is like a wet dream. This guy is going to now take this precision medicine. And in one of these stories, it actually had said that, Dr. Khalif will play a critical role in providing high-level advice and policy direction on the agency's medical products and tobacco priorities. Remember, that's where they were developing the Blue Angel program. And he will manage cross-cutting clinical, scientific, and regulatory initiatives in several key areas for the agency, including personalized medicine, pediatric science, and orphan drugs. And that was actually a story we never got to, is about this new robot that's that off-label drug use. They got a robot now that's going to go out and test all the drugs that are already on the market and see if they cure other diseases. So guys, in the middle of this whole orchestrated debate that's going on, orchestrated with a huger goal in mind, this is everything we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks, this whole evil plan. They now have put someone into place that's going to rubber stamp beyond rubber stamping. This is what it sounds like. That's what this dude's all about, man. He's totally in bed with every single one of them. Now, on top of all of this, in the middle of all of this, what happens? But there's a massive hack attack. Oh, my God. I think it's the biggest, or just about the biggest, like maybe number three of the biggest hack attack ever. There was? Yeah, those pesky hackers. Well, guess who they hacked? They hacked Anthem. Who's Anthem, you say? Anthem is formerly known as WellPoint. WellPoint is one of the nation's largest health insurance companies. Why would hackers be targeting health insurance companies? Well, I don't know. Well, hey, we find out they got 80 million records. 80 million. I'm trying to think which one of these, there was a whole bunch of videos on this yesterday. And one of these at the very end, they like gave you the money shot. Because what they say is, well, these public companies, you know, we need to be used to this. This is the new normal. Us getting hacked all the time. It's the new normal. And we need to be aware of this. And corporations need to get security. And remember that Microsoft Cyber Patrol Center and good old, I forgot his name, the former head of the NSA Cyber Patrol, who's now gone into private practice, who's holding JP Morgan Chase's feet to the fire, and then they got hacked at $1 million a week that he wanted for his salary. I think this is the one, actually, that I listened to yesterday. They need to get in the back door, because you know what? If they can't break down the HIPAA laws, then let's just get our security apparatus into all of the health insurance companies. And you know what? The health insurance companies are all part of the program. So American public, don't worry, because your data's going to be safe with us. Again, they need to do the problem reaction solution. Do you see that? Like, it was no accident that now the next biggest, largest ever in the history of America security breach happened to be a health insurer. That's what I'm saying. It's like if there was a puzzle that was to be made, there was never a more perfect puzzle that was created. None of this is freaking accidents. every single day. It's the next step of the illusion of faking you into believing. For those that don't ask questions, for those who are not suspicious, I'm suspicious of everything. Sometimes to my detriment. But don't believe it. My mother, that's why I blame it on my mother. She's the one who told me. Don't believe it just because somebody tells you. Don't believe shit that I tell you. Look it up. It's easier to believe it because somebody told you. Find the documents and find something you trust.
One of America's largest health insurers, Anthem, this morning confirmed a massive data breach. Reports say hackers may have stolen up to 80 million records. No credit card or medical information is in danger, but social security numbers, birthdays, and addresses may have been compromised.
Anthem's president and employees are among those who may be affected by the cyber attack. It's still not clear if the hack has been contained. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger is here to look at the impact of what could be one of the largest hacks in history. Jill, good morning.
Good morning.
How bad is this security breach?
Well, this is pretty big. This will rank potentially in the top three. We had some at, we had two breaches at Experian and eBay in 2013, but this looks bigger than the JP Morgan, the Target, the Home Depot. Again, I just really want to emphasize, so far it does not look like credit card or bank information was stolen. We are worried that we have our names and social securities, but really that data seems to be okay, and medical information does not appear to have been stolen. So I think that's...
So medical information wasn't stolen, but whoops, you definitely, and hopefully this will air...
Remember.
So the worst thing is...
Well, I think the worst thing is not knowing, and the broad number of people. I think the best thing is the company found it themselves last week. They disclosed it within 1 week. There have been instances where it have been weeks.
I'm skipping ahead because we're out of time.
Since there's been any sort of hack of your own information. The FTC has a phenomenal website. Information has been compromised.
Instance of a cyber attack.
And I think it's what we have to be used to. And this is going to be the cost of doing business for every single company and nonprofit in this country.
And there you go. She says it is the cost of doing business. We're all going to get hacked. We have to give in to the cybersecurity patrol to keep us safe, people. All right, everyone have an awesome Friday. Make sure you stick around tonight. There's all kinds of radio. LaVon is live tonight. Hold me out ready. We got Josh on at 6 p.m. We have Truth on the Tracks. We have Daniela. We have Anti-Media Radio. So, guys, everyone have an awesome Friday. Crack a beer. Stay happy. I'll catch up with you on Monday.